Gotta get up, gotta get out, gotta get home before the morning comes. What if I'm late? Got a big day, gotta get home before the sun comes up. Up and away, got a big day, sorry can't stay. I gotta run, run, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, welcome to another edition of Vegas Nonstop. I am your co-host, Jeffrey with a G. In studio with us, sports author and super fan, Thomas White.
Long-time caller, first-time listener.
Hey now.
Community coordinator for the NBA Summer League, Carol Hattar.
Sort of. Close.
And with me,
I can't
as
get
always,
it right either. I don't know.
Community relations, director of community relations and events.
But that's okay.
Please forgive me.
I'll do anything.
And running the goat rodeo with me for the last 10 years, the master of mayhem, the wizard of whoopee, and the ambassador of fun, Jonathan J. Scott.
Jeffrey with a G line one. Go ahead. That was not that smooth of an
a
intro,
bumpy.
But it worked.
It was
I knew he should have written that
but
down.
But it was good considering that you got here just seconds ago.
I know.
Boys and girls, moms and dad, and children of all ages.
I forgot to rehearse my lines.
Yes, boys and girls, moms and dad, children of all ages is the punchline to that. Children of all ages.
Why?
Why? What's children of all ages.
Because
you're a child.
Oh, very much
you're a man
it's a
child.
Family friendly
I tell show. I tell women I date that I'm childlike, not childish. There's a big difference.
But they quickly find out differently.
Maybe.
That's on your childish Gambino.
First date.
What do you know about childish Gambino?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Except the name
just
Gambino.
Like
I like the Gambino.
He's just like
part.
Saying childish Gambino.
Yes. So, it was Super Bowl weekend last weekend.
It was.
And where did you wind up watching the game? I haven't talked to you all week.
I have a friend in the Southwest, not too far from where I live, where we go to every year, a big Hawaiian group of friends, and we have a spam contest. Who can come up with the most creative spam dish?
Oh, shit.
And who won?
The winner was the spam banh mi sandwich.
Oh.
Come on, spam by me, like the Benny King song. Is that?
I have no idea what you're doing over there.
Wasn't that what it was? Take
Stand
off
by me.
Spam by me.
Spam by me.
Wasn't that what it was?
It was actually kind of clever, like on a way different
that
level.
That is clever.
A
and
way
I didn't,
high level.
And
but,
I didn't put it together, yes. But spam bon me was the winning sandwich.
Oh, okay.
Very cool.
What is that sandwich?
Spam bon me. Spam bon me.
What was that sandwich?
So, you know what spam is, obviously.
I do know spam.
Sliced thin and then soaked overnight. In rice wine vinegar,
okay.
And then put on a classic banh mi toasted baguette with pickled onions and carrots and some cilantro, and it was like eating a real banh mi sandwich, but
wow.
With spam in it.
How was it?
Delicious.
Do you like Hawaiian food?
I have to pick and choose.
See, I don't understand. Their food is so terrible, but they're also fat.
Oh
well,
God.
Because they hold on.
I shouldn't say
they,
all.
They do have a high rate of obesity and diabetes because they live on a diet that's very heavy with sugar and salt and a lot of rice.
Yeah, have you ever eaten poi?
Yes.
Yes.
Tastes like chalk.
Yes.
A little bit. I
yeah.
use it to caulk the walls of my house.
Yes. I think it's a good caulking. It's a good caulking. Joining us in studio, Carol hasn't been with us for quite a while.
Yeah.
But we've got plenty to talk about. But,
thank you.
Here's a few things that are going on around town here. Of course, my name is Jonathan Scott. We're here on Vegas Nonstop. I may as well identify myself.
You are still Jonathan Scott.
Still. We're on 920 The Game and also on iHeartRadio. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and, of course, visit our new website at VegasNonstop.com. So here's what's happening this weekend. If you've never seen George Wallace perform, and even if you have, our friend George brilliantly tells stories and meets the audience every night in a brand new show. George Wallace at Westgate performs Tuesdays through Saturdays at 8 p.m. Dr. George Wallace. Did we have a good time a couple weeks ago?
We
with
had
George?
A great time.
Very much so.
We went to
that
dinner
is
with
one
George.
Funny, funny guy.
And every show is different because he works the audience. What's
yeah.
your name? Where you're from? What's your name? Where you're from? And wherever they were from, that's where he was yesterday.
Yeah, I was there yesterday.
I was there yesterday. last night, for the third time, I went to go see Miss Dionne Warwick because mom's visiting. Thursday through Sundays, 8 p.m. at Cleopatra's Barge at Caesars, singing most of her 26 number one hit songs. She has sold over 120 million records.
That's crazy.
Wow. That's a lot of records.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I had one
chance.
Back in the day.
You had one?
I had one.
Which one?
One of her albums.
Elfie.
I don't remember which one.
But
no,
she did
I'm
a lot
sure
of movies.
It was Dock of the Bay. But
yeah, she had a lot of movie themes. I mean, Alfie and.
It's a great venue, too. So small.
It's an intimate. You feel like you're in her living room.
Mm-hmm.
There's another show we're going to talk about in a second there. You really get that feeling of vintage Vegas in a room that holds. It only holds 200 guests. So enjoy the legendary Miss Dionne Warwick. Tickets start at $97.99. Here's the show that Carol likes. Celebrity psychic medium Thomas John has started his residency at Caesar's Palace. If you have questions for your dead relatives, Thomas John,
what's
can
the
provide
combination to the safe?
Have a life changing experience. For more info, go to thomasjohnvegas.com. Carol, you want to talk about your experience?
Well, it's absolutely incredible. I'm a very spiritual person, believe in the afterlife and that sort of thing, but it's always shocking when it happens to you. And 3 years ago, when they came, when the Gliss brought Thomas here, and I was there. Jonathan was at a show. We were invited. And the very first person he came over to from the stage was me. And I had brought some items of my mom and dad, who both passed away. And he came directly over to me and stood in front of me and said, I feel a very strong spiritual connection to you. Very strong coming. Jonathan was there. He saw it. I literally sobbed hysterically because no one on the planet Earth knows the things that he said to me. My parents' names, my relatives' names who had passed away. There's no way that he could have known the things that he did. So that in and of itself was life-changing to me, absolutely life-changing.
He said these things out loud to
out
you?
Out loud.
In front of the audience.
Blow your mind.
An entire audience.
And he was spot on with everything.
Spot on. I
blow
mean, there's
your mind.
Nobody, listen, you could look at obituaries. You could look at things like that if you wanted to do a bunch of research. But there were 300 people there, and they didn't even know I was coming.
Right.
So it was a last-minute kind of thing. He talked about my mother. He talked about my dad by name. Talked about an aunt who had passed away 20, 30 years ago. There's one person on the earth, my brother, who knows who that person is. And then I was lucky enough to just go again to see Thomas John about 2 weeks ago at this new venue of his, Cleopatra's Barge, that he was at. And do I have like 1 second to tell the story really fast?
Take 2 seconds.
Okay, so this is so unbelievable that you would never believe it, except that people who know me well know that I would never lie about something like this. It's just not what I would do. And I went, again, brought two items with me, put them in my purse. No one was at home with me when I took them. Items of my mom and dad. Put them in my purse, put them in a cosmetic bag, which you couldn't see, and I carry a humongous purse. So it was on the floor. And as I was talking to my mom and dad all the time. I talked to them all the time.
Out loud?
Out loud. Huh. All day
long. You're talking
long
to them right now?
I talk to them constantly. Good morning, good night.
Do they ever answer?
No, but I get good ideas about things, you know, from talking, working out in my head. Anyways, long story short, so I get there and
too
the
late.
Whole...
Oh,
sorry. Long story short. Too late.
No, you have to hear the end, because if you're listening right now, you must go see this show. It is life-changing. And at any rate, he was reading other people when we first got there, and I was all disappointed because I'm very competitive. And last time I was the first person that he read, and now I wasn't. So I was just all disappointed about that. And I was talking to my mom under my breath. Nobody was sitting next to me. And I was just talking, saying, you know, come on, mom, you've got to come through. You did it before. You know, I know you can hear me, blah, 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 blah. And a woman behind me, he was going to read. She was from New York, and he was asking questions. He started to walk toward the stage, up steps of where I was sitting, right next to where I was sitting. And he got to me, and I said to my mom as he was walking, Mom, if you can hear me, tell him to stop. Tell him to, because I'm right here. Tell him to stop. And I kid this as my son, on my son's life.
He stopped
okay?
dead in his tracks.
He stopped dead in his tracks in front of me at the steps. And Jonathan's friends were there who have the show. So
yeah,
they saw all of this
Alan
happen.
And Kathy
yeah, shout out to Alan and Kathy, who we love. And he said, oh my God, I am being stopped right here. He said those words out loud. And he said, I'm getting a woman who's stopping me, telling me to stop, 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 which
oh
is
God.
Exactly what I said. And he literally looked at me and he said, does the name Jean mean anything to you? That is my mom's name. So there's
wow.
no way on earth anyone could know
yeah,
that.
That's crazy.
So
mean,
even after all these years, your mom is still trying to set you up.
Yeah. No.
So it's pretty much. So anyway, Thomas John's over at Cliff
Gotta go
Barge
see him.
That's
Caesar's
unbelievable
Palace.
Story.
I like what comedian Richard Lewis used to say. He used to say he doesn't mind if his dead relatives visit him as long as they're dancing the twist.
Oh, okay.
That's what he said.
I like
anyway.
That.
George Wallace's friend, Everybody Loves Raymond star Brad Garrett, returns to his club Thursday. He's there all weekend to, you know, do comedy. That's what he does. Tickets start at $59. My favorite story of Brad's is when he opened for Frank Sinatra, and after his set, he looked out at the audience and he said, stick around for Frank. And he shortly got a knock on his dressing room door from Jillian, his friend, saying, what's this we heard you say, stick it to Frank?
Oh.
And that was the last night that he played for Frank Sinatra. And that's right out of Brad Garrett's mouth. Impressionist Gordy Brown returns for a limited run at the Golden Nugget on Tuesday, 7:30, with his new show titled Lasting Impressions. I always ask Gordy the difference between an impressionist and impersonator. And there's a marginal difference
what
between
is it?
That. One does impressions and the other one actually tries to be that person. Gordy performs Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays at Golden Nugget. Tickets are $25. Pop music legend Barry Manilow returns to the Westgate Thursday through Saturday at 7 p.m. Are you a fan of Lou?
Love Barry Manilow.
Yeah. Aside from Barry's hit songs, I enjoy really the most when he does his commercial jingles.
Oh, if McDonald's?
Yeah.
Is
you
McDonald's
deserve
one?
A break today. He wrote that.
Yeah. Yep. He wrote dozens of them.
Get a bucket of chicken, get a bucket of fun. He wrote that. So he does a whole little segment on that. And I guess I'm just a fan of Lou.
I guess. Our friend Tamara Walker sang backup on some of those Barry Manilow jingles.
Mandy. Oh, mm-hmm. Mandy.
I worked with Barry Manilow back in the day.
You did?
I did. He did a TV version of his song Copacabana in the 80s.
That's the closing song.
Man.
Yeah, and it was with he starred in it with Annette O'Toole. Waris Hossein was the director, won an Emmy for directing it, as a matter of fact. Because of my physical resemblance to Barry, I was his stand-in.
You were? You look so much like him.
We look so much
said
alike.
Said anything, but...
Well, back then, he was taller, so it worked.
Back then, we were all taller. Barry Manilow at the Westgate. Saturday, 8 p.m., you can enjoy more sultry love songs with Brian McKnight at the Encore Theater at the Wynn Las Vegas. Tickets start at $49.50. They would call Brian McKnight what they would call a panty dropper.
Nice.
Well, you would call it that.
That's what they would call him back in the day, Brian McKnight. He was really young when he started, Brian McKnight. Anyway, for all of our boomers that are listening, the Doobie Brothers are taking it to the streets Friday and Saturday and Wednesday at 8 p.m. at the Venetian. Tickets start at $49.95 for the Doobie Brothers. Wow. Next Saturday, celebrate Valentine's weekend with the Las Vegas Philharmonic at the Smith Center for the Performing Arts, led by our friend, conductor, and friend of the show, Maestro Donato Cabrera. Symphony will be performing Beethoven, Mozart, and Britten's Serenade for tenor, horn, and strings. Tickets start at only $30. Visit lvphil.org. If you're a fan of the Philharmonic or the Symphony. Congratulations to Vinny and the Bronx Wanderers on their new home at Harrah's Showroom, or I call it Harrah's, sharing the room with the Righteous Brothers, our friend Bucky Hurd and Bill Medley, Wednesday through Monday at 8 p.m. In the What's Eating You department, Charlie Palmer at the Steak at the Four Seasons, still offering the best fine dining special in Las Vegas with a three-course chef's cut dinner with bottomless wine for only $58. That's at the Four Seasons, Charlie Palmer Steakhouse. For those of you that enjoy drinking wine, it's a fabulous deal. It's the best fine dining deal in town. Jeffrey with a G, the annual Truffle Festival at Jose Andres Bazaar Meat at the Sahara continues through the end of truffle season, mid-February. Dishes on the multi-course tasting menu, here's where I'm going to need your help, include a burrata spoon.
Burrata.
What is it?
It is the inside of the soft part of the mozzarella, otherwise known as stracciatelli.
Mm. Oh, well, I knew you'd clear it up for me.
Wow.
I'm so glad that went to cheese and not some kind of meat.
Yeah, I
thought it was going to be inside of a stomach or something.
You didn't know either,
too.
Right?
Me too.
Bobby on the board.
The soft underlying fur of the muskox, yes.
So a multi-course tasting menu including a burrata spoon with a liquid truffle sphere.
Yes.
Ooh.
Delicious.
You're just going to say yes?
It's cheese and truffle. There you go.
Hazelnut and Sage. Boy, I remember them. They
Nocciolo.
Were a great comedy
Nocciolo.
Team. Please welcome to the stage Hazelnut and Sage. And ham croquettes with quince and truffle. What's quince?
Quince is a fruit.
It's a fruit.
Oh, it is?
It's a fruit. It's a quince.
Quince is like
also a character
similar
in Midsummer
to a kiwi.
Night's Dream.
Kiwi.
Oh, it is.
Kind
similar
of
to a kiwi. Yeah. A little more bitter. Not as sweet as a kiwi.
Okay. Well, so the tasting menu is $165, and that's a Bazaar Meat at the Sahara.
How bizarre.
I'd like to meet Jose Andres.
You know, he's in the All-Star Celebrity
Game.
He is.
Jose
Andres.
I can't see him being as good on the court as he is in the kitchen, though.
But it was an unusual choice. I was like, wow, how did that come about, I wonder.
And he's probably one of the only names you're going to recognize on either roster.
No. Asia Norman, Las Vegas Aces.
Oh, yeah. She was our number one pick two years ago. Yeah.
For the best breakfast or lunch of your life, check out our friend Chef Sonia at Rooster Boy Cafe at Desert Chores. I was dreaming about Chef Sonia's French toast. Pretty sad when you're so old you dream about food instead of pretty women. I don't know if I have a regular fever or Oscar fever.
You don't want that?
Sunday night are the Academy Awards, and the Variety Club of Southern Nevada is hosting its 11th annual Oscar viewing party with red carpet coverage starting at 3 p.m. at the Brendan Theaters at the Palms. Tickets are $35 and includes $25 in concessions. There's your answer to what
there's
popcorn.
Popcorn.
$25 for popcorn. Proceeds benefit the Variety Club and its mission of helping children living with serious illness, disability, or disadvantage. For more info, go to their website at varieties.com. VarietySN.com for Southern Nevada. Here's New Jersey sportsbook odds for the best picture of the year.
Dun, dun, dun.
The movie 1917. Tom and I were talking about this
earlier. Fantastic.
That's the favorite. That's the favorite horse to win is 1917. Did you see that one?
I did not, but I understand the cinematography is outrageous.
The whole thing is just tremendous.
Yeah, I think it should get it for best cinematography.
And best director. And, I think hands down
but
it's
not
best
movie, though, right?
I wouldn't be upset if it happened. It was
a good movie.
Really, really
well done. The storyline was good. Like, it was a good storyline.
Oh, yeah.
Good writing.
You should see it.
I will. Yeah. And I think that's something you have to see in the theater.
Yes.
Yes.
You're not going to get that experience at home. Yeah.
I swear to God, you look at that. I've seen outtakes of it since, but the first 5 minutes, it looks like it's done with no cuts.
Wow.
They leave the commander's tent. They go through the trenches. They come out of the trenches. That's they find the exit place. They go start heading off across German territory. All looks like it's one cut.
Next in line and by New Jersey book is Parasite, which
I
like.
I have
as
not
well.
Seen it.
I love Parasite. It was a great movie, but I just have an issue with it being Best Picture in two categories, in Best Foreign Film and Best Picture. It should be just Best Foreign Film, in my opinion.
I mean, it's all in Korean. It's all
subtitled. It's a wonderful picture, and I hope it wins Best Foreign Picture, but I just don't think it should be in this category.
All right, Tom and I both agree on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood being 2.5 hours that you're never going to get back out of your life.
Pretty much.
Have not seen it yet.
Yeah, don't.
Well,
I have to.
Yeah, well, you kind of have to.
You have to, but it's
just
too
watch all
boys.
The Brad Pitt scenes. Those are really good.
Isn't he nominated for Best Actor?
Best supporting Acting, yeah. I would love to see just Brad Pitt's scenes, and then it would be about an hour and a half, and that would be a great movie.
If I could stand it, I'd watch it again.
How was Leo in this?
He was fine, but I did see the Irish. I don't know why Margot Robbie was in the picture, first of all. It would have been a much stronger picture if you just heard Sharon Tate's voice at the end coming through the intercom at the end of the driveway.
Say, kill me.
Instead of sitting there and watching her for 5 minutes, watch herself in the Matt Helm movie.
Yeah.
It just made no sense
to me.
I
had a problem with them leaving out the whole Charlie Manson and the whole Beach Boys kind of Brian Wilson connection.
And it's revisionist history. He rewrote the end just the way that he did with Inglourious Basterds. And the end scene is great. I mean, this is why you go see Tarantino. But it didn't come together the way the rest of those movies always do. Yeah. You know, Inglourious Basterds had a great tie all the loose ends together ending. Same thing with Pulp Fiction. Tie all the loose ends together. This just missed the boat for me.
Me too. I was not.
And if you're a Hollywood aficionado, which is why I think this is getting so much play, it's a great tribute to old Hollywood. I mean, it takes you back to the 1960s on Hollywood Boulevard and on Sunset Strip, and if you're grown up in the industry, that's your childhood. It was terrific.
That part was great.
But that had nothing to do with the story. No. And
it was not your typical Tarantino movie. I don't think Joker should be up for Best Picture. I do think that Joaquin Phoenix should get
Best
Actor.
I think he's a slam dunk. Yeah,
he is. He's the favorite. Jojo Rabbit.
Great picture.
Great movie.
I can't wait to see that.
Oh, my gosh. That was such a good picture. And so apropos and timely for these days, for these times that we live
in. His closet. He's got an imaginary friend that's Hitler. That's the storyline. The Irishman, 3.5 hours. I thought it was engaging, riveting. I didn't fall asleep once, which is amazing.
And that's a four snorer. That's one snorer for Jonathan. That's the highest rating he can give.
Marriage Story. I enjoyed it.
What's that? I haven't seen that.
Stopped in the middle,
that?
And then I finished.
That's Adam Driver.
Yes, and
Scarlett Johansson.
I got an issue with these two, with this and The Irishman, as a matter of fact. These are Netflix flick movies that they released for 2 weeks so they'd be eligible
for
the Oscars.
That's right.
And then they're back on Netflix.
What's wrong with that?
Just stay in your lane.
They shouldn't be eligible for the Best Picture?
No, if you're going to release it as a major feature film.
The world is changing with streaming.
Do I sound really old right now?
Pretty much.
Like, get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah.
Turn down that hippity hoppity. Turn down that hippity hoppity.
We had to walk across coal linoleum to change the channel.
You know, Fandango now, you can stream at home.
Oh, I did not
Fandango.
Know that.
Yeah, they're called Fandango now. I have not seen Little Women, and I think you've
I've missed it 5 or 6 times through the course of my life, and I'm just going to continue that streak.
And Ford versus Ferrari is the last place. But these odds are amazing. When you look at it, it's plus 25,000 that's going to be best picture. Throw $10 on that and see what happens.
Well, that really just means 250-1, not 25,000.
Not 25,000-1?
No. Oh, okay. Everything's based on $100.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, you're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game, iHeartRadio, of course, iTunes Radio, and go visit our website at vegasnonstop.com. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Carol about the NBA Summer League, Junior NBA, NBA, and all things relating to basketball. Stay right where you are.
For more than 35 years, A.A. Cassaro Plumbing has been servicing the Las Vegas Valley for general repairs, water conditioning, water line detection, and so much more. Specializing in bathroom and kitchen remodeling, A.A. Cassaro Plumbing and A.A. Cassaro Construction feature over 35 years of satisfied customers. A.A. Cassaro is family-owned and operated. Check out aacassaroplumbing.com today. Hey Las Vegas, Millennium Window Tinting on Eastern and Sunset invites you to get out of the sun and have your car, home, and office treated with energy-efficient 3M window tinting. Tinting your windows adds an extra layer of protection from both the sun and from intruders who can't steal what they can't see. Why wait till it's 120 degrees to shield yourself from the blistering heat? Millennium Window Tints offer same-day service and mention Vegas Nonstop for a special offer. Millennium Window Tints, authorized by the 3M Corporation. Schedule window tinting for your car, home, or business at their website, MillenniumTints.com. That's MillenniumTints.com at Sunset and Eastern.
You're listening to Sports 920, The Game.
I got a basketball jump. I got a basketball jump. Ooh, baby.
John the Scott with Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game. Also available on iHeartRadio, iTunes Radio, and of course on our website at vegasnonstop.com. Why did we play Basketball Jones, you might ask yourself?
Basketball Jones.
Oh, Tom's singing now.
I thought you were going to play This is Basketball with Curtis Blow.
Our co-host Jeffrey with the G-Line 1. And of course our friend Carol Hattar from NBA Summer League joining us in studio to talk about everything, but let's start with the trades that have been going on, shall we?
Amazing.
What's the biggest NBA trade?
For me,
Carol
the
just
biggest
told us.
Trade, yeah, it was Marcus Morris going
well,
to
we
the Clippers.
We were not here then.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the biggest trade. What do you think, Jeffrey?
I agree with you. And you know what I like? I like the fact that a lot of contenders didn't do anything.
That's true.
The Lakers made no moves. The Bucks made no moves. My Celtics made no moves, which tells me that these teams feel that they are. Don't get me wrong. I know the Lakers were in on Morris as well.
Sure.
And obviously they're. Counterparts in the same arena landed Morris, and I, you know, obviously playing with Kawhi and George is going to be huge for them. They run very deep, that team. But I got to tell you, man, I love this Celtics team. I really do. And I think they can come out of the East and beat the Bucks.
That's
you see how they're playing right now. They're 20 games over 500. They're 35-15. They have not been healthy all year.
True.
With Hayward and Kemba and Tatum and Brown. And let me tell you something. Jason Tatum is turning into a star right in front of our eyes.
He is.
7 straight games with 20-plus points. Made his first All-Star team. Brad Stevens, we know what kind of caliber coach he is. And it's amazing to see the chemistry of this team with Kyrie leaving and Kemba coming in. Kemba is the nucleus of this team. They play great defense. Okay, they're top 5 in offense. They're top 3 in defense. With a scoring differential of 7.3, which is only second to the Bucks in the East.
Sure.
I like the way this team plays. Provided they can stay healthy, I think they can go deep into the playoffs.
Do you really? What do you think about the East now that Andre Iguodala is with Miami?
Well, and you know what's funny? Because obviously no one expected Miami to be the team they are this year, right?
Right,
Jimmy Butler, how does he not make the All-Star team? That's crazy. Pat Riley obviously feels now is the time to make moves. Iguodala's back in the East again. I think that's going to be fun. Watch out for Toronto. I mean, here's a team that was in the finals last year, won the championship. Mm-hmm. Kawhi leaves. They may even be better this year. I mean, they're unbelievable. Well. This team is so much fun to watch. They're great on offense. I mean, offensively, they're just a juggernaut. There's a lot of fun. And obviously, you throw the Bucks in there. You put those four teams in the East.
So let's run it down. So Toronto's only ahead of Boston by a game and a half in the Eastern Conference. And in the Southeast Division, Miami.
And by the way, also winners of 12 straight going for 13 tonight.
Really?
The Raptors.
Wow. In the Southeast Division, Miami is in the lead by 13 games.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun to watch with Andre there.
Central Division, Milwaukee's also ahead by 13 games over Indiana. In the Western Conference, Southwest Division, Houston's only ahead of Dallas by two games. Northwest Division, Denver is ahead of Utah by 3 games. And Pacific Division, Lakers are ahead by only 2.5 games.
2.5.
So it's still early, a lot of basketball to play.
A lot of basketball.
I mean, the Lakers and the Clippers in the same division coming down to the wire is going to be fun.
Kind of fun, right?
Only separated by 2 games. Obviously playing on the same court at the Staples Center. I mean, basketball is starting to really get fun again. I don't necessarily love the way the game is played today, but I think it's a fun game to watch today.
Yeah, you're going to be one of the holdouts, like all basketball, OG basketball fans,
yeah.
That, you know, it shouldn't be played from the outside. Should be played by the inside. No big man left anymore. Everybody's
no fundamentals, no defense.
Threes. It's true.
Guys, you know, they're hitting 70% free throws, and they're doing great. You know?
Hey, I have a question.
It's true.
First of all, it seems like you have to have a name that starts with K to play in the NBA anymore. Secondly, one of the trades that went down, Isaiah Thomas went to the L.A.
Yeah. Oh,
and as I was hearing this report, it said, although he's not going to play
that's
in L.A.
That's correct.
What does that mean?
Well, it simply means that they bought his contract. They took him in the trade, but they don't want him to play with the team. So they'll pay him. He'll continue to get paid.
But they're going to look to move him.
Can
but
I apply for a job like that? Because I could totally fill that spot.
But, you know, it's really kind of sad because Isaiah is a tremendous young player.
Yeah, no, and that's why I'm asking, because it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So they control his rights, but they don't really want him to play.
That's right.
So will they turn around and trade him off?
He went to the Lakers, right? Oh, you mean
correct.
Went to the Clippers?
In the trade
or
with
the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Lakers don't really need a point guard.
Right.
You know, as good as Isaiah is, and probably not as good as he was when he was with Boston, mm-hmm. had that terrible injury, whatever, but ever since then, he's been bouncing around the league. He hasn't been able to stay on one team or healthy for an extended period of time.
Right. Maybe it was the Clippers that he went with.
I think it was.
Yeah.
I'm mistaken. It was part of that other trade.
It was
clearly
the
Clippers
trade.
Don't need a point guard.
Right.
They have a couple pretty good ones.
Yeah, exactly. But they did the same thing. Memphis did the same thing when Golden State traded Andre.
Yeah.
To Memphis, and he was never going to play in Memphis, and they agreed to that, and they knew that. So it was just a matter of moving him.
He pissed off a few Memphis fans with some of the things he was saying.
Well, I think, what do you think about that? I mean, Dylan Brooks, you know, coming out and kind of trashing Andre. Andre's never said a bad word about the Grizzlies, would have gladly, you know.
And it wasn't Andre's decision not to play
absolutely
either.
Absolutely not.
But it was just weird that he came out and said that.
It's interesting now. We'll see what happens.
There's only one person I know that's gotten paid to not work or not do anything, and that's Coach Mike Ditka. He got paid not to coach the New Orleans Saints, and he got paid not to anchor on CBS TV. That's the only person, millions of dollars to not work. The only person I know.
Why did they do that?
Because they didn't want him on the air anymore.
They didn't want him.
You just pay him out then, right?
Yeah.
Like everyone, you pay your contract.
Yeah, they paid out the contract.
Yeah.
They just paid him not to coach and not to announce.
Wow.
Nobody's
that
ever
was one
me.
Of my favorite scenes from the movie Moneyball was when Brad Pitt's in the practice area with the actor that's playing David Justice. And he says something like, well, that's why you pay me $40 million. And he says, no, I pay you $19 million. The Yankees are paying the rest for you not to play.
Exactly. I remember that when he's in the batting cage.
That's
a great line.
I'm only paying you $19 million. The Yankees are paying you, you know,
not to play
$22 million
for
to not play for them.
I got to watch that movie again. That was a good movie. It was like 7-8 years ago already.
No longer than that.
Moneyball. I remember.
Brad Pitt looks exactly the same, but it was longer than that, yeah.
So, Carol, let's talk a little bit on the history of NBA Summer League. You've been there since the beginning, and it's grown to about 150,000 fans came. They're all 30 teams.
Absolutely.
China,
Last
Croatia
year
came.
Was incredible.
It was incredible.
That opening night?
Is,
we were there.
That was the earthquake night, wasn't it?
It was Zion caused an earthquake.
Yeah,
Zion caused an earthquake, and they had to stop the game at halftime.
Stop by the way, he missed a lot of games to start the season, but how much fun is he to watch right now? I mean, this kid, and we saw it at Duke. I didn't know if it was going to translate into the NBA. This kid jumps out of the building like no one I've ever seen. Like, it's unbelievable. And I'm not talking about offense. Defensively, blocking shots, I mean, it's just, he's fun to watch at 19 years old, yeah, going up against NBA veterans and taking it right to them with no fear.
Yeah, he's special. He's incredible. He's a special, definitely a special young man. It was fun having him last year for the first quarter.
I would imagine.
That we had. we enjoyed it.
First half.
Yeah, basically.
So it was 15 years? This was a 15th year?
This was, actually, it was our 16th year. We came in, this will be our 16th year. We came in 2004. And had only six teams over 4 days. We were only in Cox Pavilion, which seats about 3,500.
And I love that you guys keep it there.
Yeah.
It makes it affordable for the fans. The kids come out. It's really all about the kids anyway. And
it really is. We've only raised the price of tickets once in 15 years.
I said it to Jonathan last year because I went to a couple games both at night for opening night and during the week or two weeks that you were there. It's got to be the best bang for your buck in town for almost any event.
Well, we certainly think so.
100%.
You can see, I mean, we have up to 8 games a day going on in Cox and Thomas and Mack both simultaneously. You can go back and forth. I think the beauty of Summer League as well is the family. An entire family, friendly place, tons of things to do for the kids, a lot of entertainment, phenomenal basketball.
I was going to say, you see a very high level of basketball being played.
Well, every person you've mentioned so far that we've talked about has been at Summer League.
Exactly.
So, you know, from Jason Tatum and virtually everyone, you know, going back to Steph and that far back, has been through Summer League. And you can sit wherever you want. Other than Gucci Row, you know, seats and that kind of thing, and a few of the reserve rows.
I didn't know you called it Gucci Row. Does Gucci
Gucci
pay?
Row.
No,
Gucci Row.
It's been called Gucci Row since Tark's days.
Yeah,
Gucci Row. It's been there forever.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Gucci
like
Row.
30 years old.
Yeah, at least. Gucci Row.
Yeah. Back in the day when the Rebels were like the Rebels, undefeated, winning championships. I mean, that was Gucci Row.
Gucci Row. You got to say, so, you guys.
Speaking of Tarkany, you know, that's where the junior NBA is. At the Tarkanian.
Right, we do. We have a league in Las Vegas, a 16-team boys and girls middle school league that we fully fund from our foundation, the Tomorrow Stars Foundation. That's the two founders of the NBA Summer League and myself. And
give him a shout out.
Warren Legarry and Albert Hall, two of the most amazing men.
I met them for the first time last year.
Oh, my gosh.
Those guys are very impressive.
Are they a powerhouse?
Well, not just a powerhouse. It's not like these guys just have an organization, they throw on a show, and they just let it run. They are in there talking to guests, talking to the kids, talking to the stars, making sure it's being run properly. They came over to us 2-3 times at least, and I just thought they were very gracious hosts.
Oh, they are. They're absolutely incredible. I mean, it's really a blessing to work with them. And so we started this league 4 years ago, and anybody can try out, any kids in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
NBA.
That's 16
junior
and under.
NBA. Registration is open now.
You're right. Registration opened on February 1st at Summer League Junior NBA, SummerLeagueJRNBA.com. And again, it's free, completely free. It's a 6-week league, and we have professional coaches, professional referees. We have an athletic trainer at every game, every practice. They have a practice once a week. They have games Friday night hoops on Friday nights, and the kids come out and try out. So again, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders.
And boys and girls.
Boys and girls currently. And at tryouts, we run tryouts just like a game. We run it just like a skills set that you would do in the NBA. And then we draft the players. So it's even more fun because the kids all go by number. Johnny over there in the corner with us is a part of it all. And Johnny the teddy bear. And then we do a draft. So we have a draft board and everything, and players get drafted by number, and the coaches go around and draft
in
10 rounds.
That's great.
So let's get the website out again for
registration. Okay, it's Summer League Junior NBA. So Summer League and then JRNBA.com. And so that there's no confusion, it isn't a summer league. Because a lot of people get confused. They think that this league takes place in the summer. It's in the spring and in the fall. And it's only named Summer League Junior NBA because we
sponsored
started the summer league.
Exactly.
Spring, fall NBA was taken.
Right, exactly. That's true. No, so that's it. But we invite everybody to come out. We have phenomenal players and terrific teams, terrific games. We run it just like the summer league. National anthem at
so
every
back
game.
Back to the history of how it started.
How it started. So 2004... Albert Hall and Warren Legarry brought the Summer League to Las Vegas, And there were six teams. It was only over 4 days. In Cox Pavilion, maybe 500 people, you know, total. and if you look back at photos, it's literally empty. And then decided that this it really was successful the first year. Mm. Just not very many people knew about it, but the teams loved it. And by really reaching out into the community, and our grassroots marketing here in Las Vegas is what built the Summer League. Not to mention Albert and Warren and their incredible connections around the world.
Starts around July 4th.
This year, yeah, it's July 10th. This year.
It was July 4th weekend when it kicked off.
It was. It was the 5th last year, and obviously the 4th. USA Basketball is a little bit later this year, so we push back a little bit as well.
10 days or 11 days?
11 days at Thomas & Mack and Cox Pavilion. And, again, we'll have all 30 NBA teams with us, plus a million other things that go on at Summer League. So, you know, it really is seeing the stars of tomorrow today. And like I said, if you look back, I mean, everyone has been through Summer League, and Dwight Howard, who's doing really well this year. But I remember when he came to Summer League.
It's about time.
First year.
It's about
time. Yeah, he is doing well.
Why do you think that is? This far into his career, he's finally showing that energy, that personality. Is it because LeBron and AD sort of take the spotlight off of him, and so he's sort of like a second act, and it's not all on him?
I don't know. That's a good question. You know, he's always done very well. If you look statistically at what he's done very well.
Listen, he's a lifetime 20-10 guy, and I get
that's
that.
Right.
But he never was, like, this guy came into the league literally a Superman, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay? Forget the slam dunk contest.
Right.
But, I mean, he was just a force to reckon with, and then he just sort of, like, I don't want to say disappeared. I know he struggled with some injuries, but this is the first time and I've watched his whole career, that I've watched him this happy, this enthusiastic, this energetic, getting with the guys on the bench and, like, being that leader that we all wanted to see maybe 8 years ago.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and I think it happens with a lot of players. You have to remember, when they come into the league, a lot of these young men are 18, 19 years old.
True.
And
it's a lot of pressure,
it's a lot of pressure, and you're thrust into something they really don't know. I mean, if you've got kids, you know, I have a 28-year-old son now, but I can't imagine him, even though he played basketball, I can't imagine him going out on his own and being on an NBA team at that age by himself under that kind of pressure.
And I guess different
really
personalities
incredible.
Handle it differently.
Sure.
I mean, you look at a kid like Zion, who's had the spotlight on him for so long now, he just seems to take it with a grain of salt and goes out there and just does his thing.
True that.
So yeah, true dad. So, once again,
yes, you did.
So, Carol Hattar from NBA Summer League. But let's talk a little, just some of the, I mean, you're in charge of community outreach. So let's talk about some of the other programs, like the Tomorrow Stars Foundation, and one that's close to me with On Air Classroom.
Absolutely.
And how you started that and what that means to the community.
Great. Thanks, Jonathan. Well, you know, literally 15 years ago, we started reaching out in the community. It was important to us that we not just come here for 10 or 11 days and then leave the community. We wanted to be here, be a part of the community. Albert and Warren were very specific about that. I live here. I've lived here most of my adult life. So being a part of the community is what we wanted to do. And we started all of our community programs 15 years ago. So things like Adopt a School, which we adopt underserved schools in Vegas, food drives, book drives, things for kids, anything having to do with kids and the veterans, we've been involved in for a long time. A couple years ago, we started what we call our classroom programs that Jonathan is involved in and heads up for us. And we have four classroom programs. One is called On Air Classroom, and that was the brainchild of Mark Jones of ESPN, who sits on our board of directors for the Tomorrow Stars Foundation. And one day he just said, hey, I would like to do broadcasting for kids that possibly could not have the opportunity to be in broadcasting. And we just took it and ran with it. And so now we work with high school students. We've worked with Desert Pines. Now we're working with Southwest Career and Technical Academy, among other people that we have, including Johnny, one of our interns that's with us here today for On Air Classroom. And Jonathan heads the whole thing up, and we teach them broadcasting. We teach them how to broadcast. We teach them from the soundboard side of it to engineering side of it to being in front of the camera. And they were going live from our Summer League Junior NBA games. They were
We've had a couple of them
live.
On the show.
Yeah.
They've come in and interned in
That's
here and
true.
Observed, and we put them on the air.
And the other interesting part is your science and
science. We have something called Court Science Classroom, and that really is with two amazing men from a foundation back east who've won many awards, biomedical engineering people, and now with Dr. Randa Bacharon, who's also on our board of directors. She's an orthopedic surgeon here in town. And it literally is teaching sports medicine and sports medical careers along with basketball analytics, which our MIT guys and Penn guys teach for us. Wow. And we teach those to middle school and high school kids, and they become part of our classroom. They see all the opportunities that they have in sports medicine, in basketball analytics. There are a million jobs in the sports industry, far more than on the court. As you all know, it's a business.
And I love that you teach the entire part of the industry, not just the actual sport itself, the production side, the medical side, all the other pieces that go into making a full team.
Well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, there's only going to be 15 or 20 people on a team, athletes, you know, 15 that you're going to get. But it takes hundreds and hundreds of people to run that team.
Yeah.
So if you're not one of those unbelievably talented athletes, the 1 in 5 million that actually makes it onto a court, even in basketball or any other sport.
Correct.
The field, NFL,
any other field, actually. I mean, when I was coming out of college, I was at a performing arts school. My dean pulled me aside and said, if you really want to participate in the theater, learn everything.
That's right.
Learn how to design sets, how to do costumes,
so
how to stage manage. I learned how to stage manage. and that way you're always involved in the activity. So if you know how to do a sports production, you're always going to be involved in the sport.
That's right. We have an enormous success rate with the interns that have interned with us with NBA Summer League. I can't tell you how many hundreds of them are working with NBA teams in all different aspects, not to mention my team alone. One of my best assistants ever, Carly Sisolak, is the director of marketing with the Golden Knights.
That's a very familiar last name, though, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is. Very familiar. She is related. And I mean, and I have another one of my assistants who's the director of basketball operations for women's basketball, UNLV. I have another one of my assistants who is the personal assistant to one of the biggest agents in the NBA. So it's not necessarily on the court. It's all of these other things that surround the court that we try and get everybody involved in. And it's our way of helping out the Las Vegas community. You mentioned performing arts. We also have Onstage Classroom, which is our performing arts classroom. So we have a 18-piece choir that is directed by Tamara Walker. And
what are they called?
They are called the Pure Joy Choir. The Pure Joy Choir, and they are a joy to absolute
joy.
Why
do you get such a kick out of that?
Jonathan and I have another inside. Joke.
We he's like a little little kid. You say Pure Joy, he starts giggling.
Did you notice he's poking me again?
Yeah. I'm telling Mom, don't touch me. In studio, Carol Hattar from NBA Summer League, and if you've got more questions, you can certainly reach out to me through our website at VegasNonstop.com. Also in studio is author Tom White and our co-host Jeffrey with a G. We're going to take a short commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop on 920 The Game.
For more than 35 years, A.A. Cassaro Plumbing has been servicing the Las Vegas Valley for general repairs, water conditioning, water line detection, and so much more. Specializing in bathroom and kitchen remodeling, A.A. Cassaro Plumbing and A.A. Cassaro Construction feature over 35 years of satisfied customers. A.A. Cassaro is family-owned and operated. Check out aacassaroplumbing.com today. A Las Vegas, Millennium Window Tinting on Eastern and Sunset invites you to get out of the sun and have your car, home, and office treated with energy-efficient 3M window tinting. Tinting your windows adds an extra layer of protection from both the sun and from intruders who can't steal what they can't see. Why wait till it's 120 degrees to shield yourself from the blistering heat? Millennium Window Tints offer same-day service and mention Vegas Nonstop for a special offer. Millennium Window Tints, authorized by the 3M Corporation. Schedule window tinting for your car, home, or business at their website, MillenniumTints.com. That's MillenniumTints.com at Sunset and Eastern.
You're listening to Sports 920, The Game.
With Vegas got to stop here on 920 The Game. Also on iHeartRadio, iTunes Radio, Spotify, Google Play, and at a theater near you. You can also find us on our website at VegasNonstop.com. We've got Johnny in studio, who's an intern with Carol Attard NBA Summer League. And I just want to give you just a minute on air to talk about your experience with working with Carol and all the different outreach programs and Summer League.
I really enjoyed working with her so far. It's been one of the best experiences I've ever had. And I can't thank her and Christina enough for giving me a chance, because I grew up where I didn't think I would have opportunities to see NBA, not even go to NBA games.
Right. And
they let me work with NBA, a lot of different people. You see a lot of, you meet a lot of different people at Summer League and everything like that.
So, where did you grow up?
I grew up here, but just in a rough neighborhood and everything.
I would imagine.
I'm 19.
You're 19, and so you've been an NBA fan, obviously, your whole life. Like, LeBron James was your dude growing up, because that's given your age.
Yes.
Did you play basketball in high school?
Yeah. No, not in high school. I played in middle school for Christina, Carol's, I don't know.
Assistant,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And, of course, you play at your local playground like we all did growing up, where things could get a little rough sometimes.
Yeah.
Some flying elbows,
yeah,
right?
A little bit like that.
Some arguments over whether or not it was a foul.
Yeah, definitely though.
And so, how did you find out about them, and then eventually find your way into the program?
Christina, basically, they needed security for our junior NBA league.
I could see why they picked you.
Yes, I could see that.
And then, they brought me in for that, and then they wanted us to start expanding what we do, and because they see a lot more in us. So then. I wanted to start
that
doing.
You may not even see in yourself, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you one more thing. How long have you been in the program?
I've been, I think, like a year.
Get right into the mic. You can hold that, by the way. There you go.
I think a little bit, like over a year.
Over a year?
Mm-hmm.
And what sort of different kinds of experiences have you had that maybe you never thought you would get a chance to do?
Just going to like Summer League and then meeting like a lot of celebrities and NBA players. It was.
Who's been your favorite player to meet? Come on. When you were just like, wow.
I think it was, what's his name?
LeBron?
No, what team?
Not LeBron.
What team?
Not LeBron.
I'm trying to think of the name.
Well, at least you're paying attention.
Yeah.
But he's a big celebrity.
And what's on the horizon for you? Like, do you graduate from the program, and is there some sort of a job placement afterwards? Like, how does that work?
I'm not really sure.
We're going to keep him as long as we can.
I was going to say, you don't want to let him go, right?
No, he's terrific. And Johnny came on board right before Summer League during Junior NBA, did a great job. His coach at Fremont Middle School, Christina Wellendorf, who's amazing and who's one of my assistants, she brought Johnny to us because she stayed very close with him because he's just a terrific young man. And we really threw him into the fire at Summer League. He had no idea what he was.
How did he do?
He did amazingly well. He was in charge of all of our VIP, all of downstairs, our talent room, bringing everybody in, and just literally like he'd been there his whole life. It was really incredible. And Johnny, I will say this, never used to talk at all. I honestly didn't think he could talk.
I was going to say, he seems a little shy.
Yeah.
Oh, this is very talkative for Johnny. But when he's not on camera like this, talks and laughs and has a wonderful time. And we've really seen such incredible growth.
Clearly, the program has also helped him develop being more comfortable in his skin and speaking to people and being in public places, especially with, you know, celebrities and athletes, where that can often be very intimidating.
So, Johnny, what would be your dream job right now? Like, you're going to spend the next 8 or 10 years moving in a direction. What would be your dream job at this point?
I want to become a basketball coach. Yeah,
like an NBA coach or just a coach on a team?
NBA, college, anything, because I love basketball. I know so much about basketball.
He does. The background. His basketball IQ is incredible.
Just keep plugging at it.
Yeah, don't stop. Don't stop.
Anything else, what you're doing now, everything you're learning now is going to be applicable to the next step that you take, and then just keep doing it.
Okay, thank you.
You're helping to coach right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm helping coach.
How old are the kids?
They're middle school, so...
Great. That's terrific.
That's a good age. That's a good age. Yeah. Nothing but the best of luck to you, sir.
Thank you.
That's Johnny Teddy Bear from the NBA Summer League. Our favorite all-around utility everything. And we want to thank you, Johnny, because you really are very helpful all through the games. And he's kind of a go-to guy.
He's incredible.
Yeah,
he's an incredible
young man. Kind of like a quiet
man.
Storm. I call him the Teddy Bear.
Oh, that's good. That's why you call
him
Teddy Bear.
That's a great name, the quiet storm.
Yeah. Johnny Foster.
Daddy Foster.
I'm assuming you've already graduated high school? And is college in your plans? Excellent.
Well, cool. Thanks for joining us here today. Okay, so Jeffrey, you want to talk a little bit about what happened with Kansas City and the 49ers?
There was a football game last weekend.
Tom does. Tom wants to talk about it.
That was last weekend.
So I was the only one on the panel. I was the only one on the panel that picked the 49ers, and for three quarters I was looking great.
Yes, you were.
I had the 49ers.
No, you didn't.
No, yes, I did. And the under.
No.
That's what you bet. That's what I bet when
I got to the window. Neil, and yourself, you guys all had KC. Yes. I had San Fran, and for three quarters they executed like I thought they would. And then another Kyle Shanahan implosion.
I think it was more Patrick or Mahomes remembering that he's Patrick Mahomes because he played pretty shoddy up until that
point. So those two wide open touchdowns were Mahomes, or was that Shanahan's defense going to sleep?
No, matter of fact,
Hill's waiting for the ball to catch up to him because there's no one nearby.
That's exactly the point. He was waiting for that ball. If Mahomes had a better pass, that would have been a touchdown. Okay, Mahomes did not play really well.
At all.
Up until the last 7 minutes, and then all of a sudden he went, oh, wait. I'm Patrick Mahomes.
He played much better the second half of the fourth quarter, no doubt.
I'm Patrick Mahomes, that's right.
But the 49ers gave him Swiss cheese to throw at. It was open all over the field.
This is what he does, and I don't know how he does it. But he'll do that. He will do that to every – he's done it to every defense. Here's a stat that I learned.
21 unanswered points in the fourth
quarter. Here's a stat that I learned from last week. Coming into the Super Bowl, Mahomes had played against 7 of the top 10 defenses in the league that when he played them, they were in the top 5. Okay? He was 7-0 coming into that game against those top-ranked defenses. And San Francisco did a great job of holding him down until suddenly they couldn't do it anymore. And there he was.
I'm sorry. That team just went to sleep in the fourth quarter. Richard Sherman, I mean, I don't know. I have no words. I just sat there and watched his team fall apart in front of me. It was ridiculous.
I don't disagree with what you were saying about Kyle Shanahan. He was infamous for that when he was in Atlanta.
And even when Kansas City scored that first touchdown in the fourth quarter, it was 20-17. Run the ball.
Yeah.
Kill the clock. Keep Mahomes off the field.
Jimmy G's first pass was complete. It was not incomplete.
You didn't hit any of those, did you?
No, I didn't hit any of those propositional
bets. And there was no missed extra points.
All right, but football's over for a few months.
The worst bad beat I had was over 30 yards rushing from Mahomes. He got up to 44, and then when he took those three consecutive knees and took 5 yards off every time, he finished with 29 yards.
I don't think anybody was leading more than 14.5 points, were they? At any point in the game, was anybody leading by more than 14?
No, 10 points was the biggest one.
14.5 was a winner.
And I think you would have had the under on the first quarter.
I also had
quarter.
Under 300 yards passing for Mahomes. I did hit a bunch of prop bets, and I also took KC in-game plus 3.5 at some point, which also cashed.
So you covered on that. So we're pretty close to running out of time here. You want to talk about baseball at all, or are you going to talk about what's going on with
baseball.
The Astros?
Pitchers and catchers haven't even reported yet.
Mookie Betts got traded to the Dodgers. It's not completed yet, but it looks like it's going to be.
Who has the best hot dogs in baseball? That's what I'd like
Fenway
to know.
Fenway Franks.
South
Hello.
Point.
Actually, Fenway.
I don't mean your local.
By the way, he's right, though. You go to South Point for $1.25 Vienna hot dog, and that's the best dog in town.
Yeah, I haven't been
so
there for
that. So,
what
do you
dogs.
Think this Mookie Betts thing was about? Was it about the luxury tax, trying to get underneath that, or is there something that we don't know?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, we all know Henry wants to get under the luxury tax, but why would you then go into arbitration, give him the largest contract, only to then move him? And really not get a whole lot in return other than a couple of prospects.
And move him to the Dodgers, who you could be seeing.
Yeah, but at least he's out of the American League.
Yes.
But
I think Chris Bryant's staying with the Cubs.
Yes, of course he is.
Yeah.
Listen, we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see what Boston does next. Obviously, I think J.D. Martinez is going to come back. The team is still pretty solid from top to bottom. We'll see how that pitching rotation does now. And they have some money to play around with. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, they could take that $27, $30 million for Mookie plus the money for Price. And they could probably parlay that into something before the July 1 trade deadline.
And they're still talking about the scandal with the Astros and stealing the signs for some reason.
That's a huge embarrassment all the way across. That's a black mark.
Well, and the lack of punishments that were issued is also an embarrassment.
I think I want to thank our guests, Carol Hattar from NBA Summer
League.
Thank
you, Carol.
Thank you.
The clock on the wall said it just fell off. Author Tom White, and of course, my co-host for the last 10 years, Jeffrey with G, Line 1, go ahead. If you see us out, please say hello, stop us, and like us and share us on all of our social media at Vegas Nonstop. I want to thank Bobby, our board operator, and Johnny Teddy Bear for coming
Johnny.
In. Have a great weekend, everybody. And as always, Jonathan Scott saying, eat well and party hard, my friends.
and he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be sure? Oh.